the name of my message is called To Be Still. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. So I want you all to close your eyes. Bear with me today. Oh, it might be a little uncomfortable for you. That's okay. Jesus was uncomfortable too. I want you to quietly just put your hand on your chest and just say the words when I count to three for me. One, two, three, for me. You can open your eyes. That's what today's all about. Today's about how much God loves you and loves me. You know, Lord, I just pray right now, we open up in prayer that we would have ears to hear. That this wouldn't be just another Easter. Lord, I thank you when I read that my friend Courtney posted on Friday that when she goes through the Good Friday during the day, she has a mixture of joy, but just a somberness that always has her near tears. Because she knows what you did for her. Let your words today not fall on deaf ears, Lord, but give us ears to hear. Lord, this might be the 40th Easter message we've heard, but let us let you speak life to us, Father God. We just thank you, Lord. In your name, amen. Don't let this get old. Don't let this get stale. You know, this is the 44th Easter I celebrated since I became a Christian, and I find that every year I find myself more humble. I find myself more at peace with what God is doing. You know, John 1:3 tells us God created everything through Jesus. Nothing that's been created was made except through him. So I look at it and I say, the one who created it all, he gave it up for me. Gave it up for you. He came to earth to suffer horribly because he wanted us to have the opportunity to spend eternity with God. Today's no special than the other day, but man, the significance of it is mind-blowing. So today I'm asking you to believe and please receive that all God has for you. You know, as I thought about Paul Anderson, you know, the times I used to go to Believers North and we'd pray, because Paul and I took Bible classes together, so we'd pray for one another and pray for each other's church, you know. And the thing I know is, as hard as it is on his family, he's in heaven. I also think about a friend of mine who lost a parent recently, going through the anguish and not knowing if they ever made that commitment or not. And what I'm talking to you about today is eternity, because we all are going to live forever. It's either in heaven or it's in hell. You know, I mean, I liked what I read when I was researching the message today. You know, it doesn't make any sense that all roads lead to heaven. You can be a Muslim, or you can be a Hare Krishna, or you can be whatever. Then why in the world would God send Jesus to earth to suffer for us and to pay that price if it wasn't necessary? So I'm going to go through Matthew 28. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the woman. "Don't be afraid," he said. I know you were looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying. And now, go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Remember what I have told you. The woman ran quickly from the tomb. They were very... Hang on a second. Now I am really confused. They were very... But also, I obviously did it wrong, filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. As they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. Think about that. Think about that. Think about how they felt. Jesus went to greet them. Jesus is greeting you all this morning. He's greeting me, saying, man, I'm here for you. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me. A new day has dawned. The chains were broken. That's what I want to talk to you about today. The chains are broken. You know, if you're a Christian, if you have surrendered to Christ, you don't have to fear death because you know what's coming. If I could sit with my friend Paul right now, how glorious would that be? And that's why God came for us, to take away the bondage we have of fear, we have of depression. You know, when I became a Christian, man, there's some things in my life that just fell away. You know, a deep depression, a fear, just because I knew that God loved me and I had a right relationship with him. But imagine what the disciples and Mary went through on Saturday, how horrible a day that was. You know, they thought Jesus was going to do this, but then they see a despicable death on the cross. And the amazing thing about Jesus dying on the cross, if he never did that, people would look at the cross and they'd be appalled by it. Because the cross would represent places where people got tortured, where they bled all over and they died horrible deaths. But now we rejoice because the cross is empty because of what Jesus Christ did. You know, so Jesus is in the tomb, the guards are standing watch. Those brave old disciples probably hid. They're probably devastated and confused while the dead cold body of Jesus lay in somebody's tomb. Early on Sunday morning, I remember when I first became a Christian. You know, I went to church with Melody and Peter Burrell, and I remember, you know, you'd get up early in the morning, and you'd have a sunrise service. Come on, admit it. You're glad we don't have that tradition here, aren't you all? If you want, let me know. Drop me an email. We'll start a 6 o'clock service next Easter. Let me know. But then we'd have an Easter egg hunt and all this kind of cool stuff. What a monumental day today represents. God reached out to man and said, hey, I want you with me, but for the joy set before him. The joy wasn't the cross. The joy wasn't being, the scriptures tell us, disfigured so you wouldn't recognize him as a human being. The joy was, I'm offering you salvation. Please don't believe the lie that says, you know what? Jesus died, so everybody goes to heaven. That's not true. Why do I say that? Because God says it's not true. The tomb was empty. Can you see their faces when the women showed up and this tomb was empty? I love verse 3. It talks about the angel. His face shone like lightning. His clothing was as white as snow. What a powerful image. I love verse 4 to me. I find it very ironic. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Why is that ironic to me? They're afraid. Because the one who died takes away fear. See, they didn't understand. We don't have to fear anymore. What does the scripture say? Don't fear those that can hurt your body. Fear the one that can cast your soul into hell, and that's God. So I find it funny where they're afraid, but they don't need to be afraid because God came to take away. In fact, the angel goes, hey, don't be afraid. It's good things are happening. He isn't here. I love the quote, and forgive me for the cliche, the cross didn't happen to Jesus. He happened to the cross. Read the scriptures. He wasn't taken by surprise. This is why he came. You want to know the kind of grace God wants us to have in our life? Look at Jesus. He put up with Judas for how many years? And he knew what was going to happen. He washed the man's feet. Can you imagine the whirlwind of emotion? You know, it reminded me of, you know, it's January 1979. It's 30 degrees below zero. And I am working at Sauter's gas station. I had the 7-to-9 shift, sometimes the 5-to-9 shift. I was in college. Life stunk. I had been dropped. Everything, I got dumped by a girl. Everything was just going to hell in a handbasket. Excuse my language. I hope it doesn't affect you, but hell's in the Bible. So I am freezing, and I turn around, pumping gas, and standing right there is one of my best friends that had already graduated from Morrisville the year before. And he took me by surprise, and I said, man, what's up? Coming back for one semester. I can't tell you the joy I had because I felt so alone. I felt so depressed, and I felt like, man, life just really stinks. But I had my friend. What kind of friend was he? When my old Subaru couldn't start, it was a standard. He came out 25 below because we had 3 weeks of 30 below at Morrisville that season. And he's running down the road near Hamilton Hall. He pushes my old car. It gets going. He goes, whatever you do, don't stop. So I kept driving until I made it back home. I don't know where your life's at today. Now, let me tell you. Do I deal with insecurity? Yes. Do I have a melancholy personality? Yes. When I got saved, do I deal with insecurity? Yes. Do I still have a melancholy personality? Yes. That's called life. But you know what? That does not have a grip on me. Jesus has a grip on me, and I know I'm going to make it. Corinthians tells us the last enemy to be destroyed is death. I remember when my dad accepted the Lord, being with him when he passed away. I wanted to say, man, take me with you. I want to see this. I want to see Jesus. I'm thinking about Easter. There's a lot of different things. You got to admit, one thing about Easter, which is really cool, it's this invention called the Reese's peanut butter egg. I really don't think there's anything better. I remember years ago, about 35 years ago, I did some stupid. You know, we were on a diet. We were eating really good. It was Easter time, and I decided for a meal, I'm going to do Reese's peanut butter eggs and other. Oh, boy, I slept on the bathroom. I felt so sick. So that is really big bug. That is really a stupid thing to do. But let me tell you, so I don't get upset if you like the Easter bunny, but you know what the Easter egg is a good symbol? Why is that? Glad you asked. It looks dead. An egg looks like a dead thing, but inside is life. And that's Jesus. That's the tomb. It looked like he was dead, but he came back to life. So if you color eggs or you chunk down on eat Reese's, that's okay. It's not a bad thing to do. Celebrate, just celebrate. You know, the right response, we have to have the right response. You know, I love verse 9. It said, they went and they ran to Jesus and they grasped his feet and they worshiped him. You know, we all have some kind of response to Jesus Christ. And today, maybe you're here, and maybe, you know, I remember this one time, a dear friend of mine, she had this deal with all of her, I think it was five kids and their spouses. I will take you to dinner, but you got to come to church. Do you know how much fun it is as a pastor to see 10 people in the back row looking like they're at the dentist's office? But at the same time, it's on them. Are you open to Jesus Christ? I mean, this is what Easter is about. Guess what? It's about Him loving you. We all have a response. You know, I was listening to Alistair Begg talk about the tomb, and he said some things I didn't know. I mean, the fact of the matter is the tomb was empty. That's a known historical fact. You can't dispute it. If it was a lie and somebody stole the body, the disciples were stupid to use a couple of women as witnesses. Why is that? Because back then in the Jewish law, women had no right to talk in court. Anything that they said was dismissed. So in their culture, to use women to go to the tomb and tell everybody, guess what? Stupidville. So that's really not a good point. And do you really think the disciples would be dying horrible deaths years later for a lie? One thing you can never disprove, that tomb was empty. This is what I love about Easter. In the midst of despair with the women, Jesus shows up. How about your life? When you're really going through hardship and you're really going through it, Jesus shows up. Now, I find the older I get in my faith, He doesn't show up as majestically and powerfully as I would like Him to. I mean, when my life is really hard and I'm praying tears and I just want to quit everything and go curl up into a ball and eat Reese's peanut butter eggs, then you know what? God shows up. But you know what it is with me? I'm here. That's all it is. I'm here. Too often we look for the skies to burst and all these great things to happen. Yeah, that's not faith. Faith is knowing that you know that you know that you know that God is with you every step of the way. And when you say, Lord, I need you, there will never be a time when He doesn't say, I got you. He might tell you, let me show you where you need to improve your life and stop doing some things because you're letting stuff in. But He's always there with us. The truth is, even as you hear this today, here or online or whatever, you got two responses, yes or no. If you say, I'm going to wait on this response, that's no. And if you're like Paul Anderson and you, I don't want to live with a no, and I'm not trying to scare people. I'm just trying to be real with people. I am just trying to be real. So just imagine the look on the ladies' faces when they saw Christ. Struggles happen. You know, God meets us where He's at. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord, now you got to listen to this, because I have a hard time believing this at times. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness. I don't know about you. I get impatient. I don't know about you, but I don't know why God's timing isn't my timing. But I'm thinking His is better than mine. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but He is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. You see, God, I don't care what you've done, where you've been. God wishes that nobody would perish. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the second death. When everybody dies, I don't care if you're the biggest and the baddest, you will bow your knee to Jesus. You will proclaim Him. But if you don't have right relationship with Him, then you will be banished to eternity without Him. You see, Jesus went through His own hell when God turned His back. My God, as Bill said today, why have you forsaken me? God turned His back on Jesus. Personally, I think one of the worst aspects of hell is no presence of God. The heart of God is for you. The heart of God is for me. Let me just read Luke 15, 1 through 7 to you. In fact, let me just read Luke 4. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will carry it joyfully home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep." That's what God's doing to you today if you don't have a relationship with him. He's saying, "I'm leaving the 99. I'm coming for you. I am searching for you, and we are going to rejoice. Me and the angels, man, we're going to rejoice when somebody says yes. When somebody says, 'God, forgive me for my sins. I'm going to give my life to you. I'm going to live for you.'" The deep depth of God's love for us. What Easter reminds me of is, you know, it talks about the tax collectors and notorious sinners came to listen to Jesus teach. I think that's great. People that we wouldn't give the time of day to. People that when we see them, let's face it, you see them downtown, you go one street over and up that way. These are the people Jesus came for, and these are the people we're supposed to be loving. You know, Luke 15 tells us that, you know, that God reaches out to us. He's longing for us to say yes. And as I said in Hebrews 12, 2, fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of God. You're the joy set before him. He endured the cross because he wants you to have eternity. You can't be good enough to go to heaven. Think about it. There's a lot of people who think, "I'm a good person. I'm going to go to heaven." Okay, then my question to that person is, why are your standards for heaven better than God's standards for heaven? I'm thinking I'm chiding with him, where I have to have the identity of Christ. I have asked Christ into my life, so God looks down and he sees my identity, not as Dick Beaumont, but as Jesus Christ. Jesus said yes to betrayal. Scriptures tell us he was despised. He was a man of sorrows. Have you ever had depression? Have you ever been gripped by just Jesus has been there? He knows what you're going through. He was betrayed. Have you ever been betrayed? That hurts. You have a relationship with somebody, you think it's this way, but it's really that way, and they end up stabbing you in the back? But you got to look to the cross. I mean, I had somebody years ago, they stabbed me in the back like there's no tomorrow. When I prayed about it, you know what God said? Now you get to love him. Now you get to reach out to him. Because I'm more concerned about his eternity than I am about your feelings. So what do? I reach out to him. I've got a great relationship with him. I'm not going to let that hold me. Some betrayal, you think that's going to have power over me when I got the living God inside of me? Come on now. So Jesus said yes to horrible death. That joy is our accepting his penalty. Romans 3 tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, which means if you're breathing, you're a sinner. Also says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Let me skip down to the end. How is God reaching out to you? You're here right now. You're hearing my words. Not my words, you're hearing the Bible. God is reaching out to you just like the shepherd when he lost one of his sheep. And if you haven't made that commitment, or maybe it's been a while, you're growing cold and you're growing stale, you need to recommit your life to Jesus Christ. John the Baptist in John 1:29 says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I'm quoting Aragon from Return of the King. What say you? Close your eyes. What say you today? What say you to this Easter message? Are we here just to pass the time because that's what we do on Easter? I love the celebration. I love spending time with family. We went out with my brother and his family yesterday. I love all that. What do I say? Jesus, Dick Beaumont's a filthy sinner. Forgive me. I don't want to live my way anymore, God. I want to live your way. What do I say? Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. You see, everybody needs to make an eternal decision, yes or no. My way or His way? His way is heaven. My way? To quote AC/DC, that's a highway to hell. It ain't any fun. Don't care what the song says. So, Lord, I come today as we close, and could the worship team come on up, please? As we close, Lord, we are the joy set before you. You took pleasure in paying that horrible price. So that you could die in our place. But we have a responsibility. And that responsibility is to admit you are the Son of God. To admit that we're sinners. Your word tells us we need to repent, which basically means do an about face. We need to surrender to you, ask you into our life. That's where we get the new identity. And say, Lord, I'm going to live for you. To the best of my ability, I'm going to live the way the Bible tells me to. So, Lord, I pray today, if there's anybody here that hasn't done that, that right now they make that decision, that they would choose, you know what, I'm going to choose life over death. I'm going to choose heaven over hell. I'm going to choose God's way over my way. And Lord, I pray for anybody that's been a believer, man, maybe they're going through some hard times, maybe they're going through dry periods. You know I understand that, Lord. Let them say yes to you right now. Let them hear your quiet, still voice telling us to be still and know that you are God. So I pray, Lord, if there's anybody that they need to recommit right now as I close this prayer, they would say yes to you, O Lord. And for the rest, Lord, bless them. Refresh them and restore them. In your name we pray. Amen.